Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
And now, a few minutes with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal on WICC 600.
All right, Senator, it certainly is a pleasure to have you here this morning. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Hope you are, too. Thanks for having me.
All right. Always a pleasure to have you here. Now, earlier this week, you contacted GPS app companies to keep truck drivers in mind when giving directions. Talk to us a little bit about this, and what did companies say about your inquiry?
I contacted Waves and all of the other companies that provide maps online, Apple Maps, Google Maps, because they are directing truck drivers to take the Merritt and the Wilbur Cross Parkways, which, as you know, have overpasses in very limited heights. What's happening is, as many of us know, the trucks reach the overpasses, they're stuck, the traffic builds up, often they do damage to the overpasses. Sometimes, unfortunately and tragically, people are killed when they ram into the backs of the trucks and injured, and a lot of property damage is done. So the point is to have them directed somewhere else, not on highways that become, for them, a road to nowhere because they can't get through the overpasses and a lot of them don't know it. And that's the point of urging that Waves and Apple Maps and Google Maps direct them somewhere else to either stay on 95, even if there's traffic, or to another road.
Has this request ever been made to these app companies before? Only because this has been an issue for a long time.
You're absolutely right. It has been an issue as long as I've been driving on the Merritt and the Wilbur Cross. And by the way, it affects the Hutchinson as well, as you know, which is why Chuck Schumer, Senator Schumer of New York, and it affects other roads around the country. Senator Markey has joined me. And no public official has made this request before. Private groups have done so. The Merritt Conservancy did so last year. And apparently map companies basically blew them off. But I'm hoping they'll be responsive because the cost of the change would be relatively minimal. And all they have to do is include height restrictions on the maps, warning truck drivers you simply cannot pass through these roadways when you hit an overpass because there isn't enough room. And it's in the truck driver's interest as well as others. The fine for driving a truck on the Merritt is only about $90. So that may be an insufficient incentive for them to avoid the roadway. But the point is, even if they're in a hurry, even if they regard the fine as a cost of doing business, the road simply will not accommodate them.
Well, that happened to me the other day. Driving on the Merritt Parkway, I'm coming up on an 18-wheeler, but he had the presence of mind to pull over on the side, and he had his flashers on, and I guess he realized that he had made a mistake, but that's a very, very rare thing to happen once a truck gets onto the Merritt Parkway.
If they're lucky, they realize they've made a mistake because it's easier to back them out. But as you know, the exits on the Merritt are fairly distantly spaced, so to back a truck all the way to the previous exit or entrance is a really tough thing to do. It takes state police time, which is why they're in favor of this step. It also does damage to the roads, which is why DOT is in favor of it. So we have pretty good consensus among anyone involved in Connecticut's roads, but we need to get Google Maps, Apple Maps, and Waves on board.
Senator, this is a very, very important issue, and I'm glad you're tackling it. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. We hope to speak to you next week.
I hope you will, too. Thanks so much.
Looking forward to it.
It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
And every other Thursday, we get to check in with Luke Frey from the Better Business Bureau. He joins us live now. Luke, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm good. And I love this topic because Tony and I have been talking about it all week. We actually have kind of piggybacked with a local vet
who has been taking donations of items so that they can send them over, medical items, so they could send it over to the different vet clinics and rescue missions in Australia for the animals suffering. And those are physical items, you know, like we're collecting medical items. But a lot of times people don't either have the time to go out and get these items or, you know, whatever. And they'd rather use cash donations. But here's my big scary thing with cash donations is you have no clue where they're going, especially if it's overseas. So I'm glad you're going to tackle this topic today because it really is important.
Sure. So obviously, when huge things like this happen, a lot of people want to help. And unfortunately, we live in a day where even if you want to help and you think you're helping, you could actually be donating to a scammer. So it's best to kind of make sure you do your research about who you're actually donating to. And the main culprit, I would say, for that are these crowdfunding sites where just about any person can post some sort of page, you know, asking for donations for any certain reason. And whenever things like these fires in Australia happen, a ton of people want to do good. And I tell people it's not necessarily scammers. It just could be people who have a great heart yet don't know exactly where to donate from there. So if you are on a crowdfunding site, you're looking to donate something, and in that description of where you're donating says it's going to some other organization from there, it's always best to donate directly to the organization you want those funds to go through and not kind of go through some third party per se.
Luke, with all of this thing that's going on in Australia with the animals and everything like that, are there any sites that you can think of or that you are aware of that might be a little shady?
So I don't know of any, you know, shady sites per se. However, I know where you can go to find the probably best charities to try to donate cash to if you were looking to donate something. So a lot of people have heard BBB. I talk about it constantly. However, we also have a branch called give.org. So a lot of consumers use BBB to find an accredited company and a trustworthy company. And give.org was actually created for consumers to find a trustworthy nonprofit. So if you go to give.org, you actually find a list of accredited charities both here in the U.S. and in Australia that will help that cause so that you know if you are donating from your computer, you know exactly where it is going.
And we're talking to Luke Frey from the Better Business Bureau. And we're talking about donations to Australia efforts. And it does sound like a lot of people want to help. And a lot of times people are going to go to cash or check or things like that. Are there ways that you can look for red flags, though? Because I know, Luke, that we don't have a specific site, per se, that has been scamming people. Because if we did, it'd probably be shut down at this point. But, you know, are there things that we can look for? If you are someone who's looking to go online, I always am a little worrisome with GoFundMe. It's worked for a lot of people, but I don't know if there are specific things you can look for to say, hey, you know what, this doesn't seem legitimate. I don't know if I should be donating here.
Sure. So anytime you are trying to donate either online or if you're on a crowdfunding site, trying to read about where your donations are going. So if it's kind of a short, vague, oh, well, it's going to help, and it kind of gives some general explanation, that's kind of a red flag, too, since any nonprofit you donate to usually has a specific mission on where their donations will go. So that's one. And the other, like I was saying, if you're on a crowdfunding site and you're reading about it and it's not actually that nonprofit who is collecting, it's some person who, again, could have great intentions. However, if you are donating to something that will later be going to some other fundraiser or nonprofit. Again, it's always best to kind of go straight to that source and not donate through that third party so that you know it's actually going to get there.
And really quick, Luke, do you have any Australian-based charities that people should be looking for if we just don't even know a starting point? Do you have any that you could maybe list off where people can donate and you know it's going to a good place?
Sure. So these are BBB accredited charities as well. So if you want to donate, some Australian-based charities are the Australian Red Cross, the Australian Salvation Army, the Nature Conservancy of Australia, and the World Wildlife Fund of Australia. Those will all go towards these efforts. And if you have any other questions or want to check out even more or some charities based here in the U.S., you can always go to give.org. And there is an article on that site that will tell you all of these charities I talked about and more as well.
All right. You know, the thing is, there's a lot of good people out there with big, big hearts. But unfortunately, there are people out there that want to take advantage as well. And Luke, this is very important information. We thank you so much for taking a few minutes, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.